This hour brought to you by the folks at People's Pharmacy.
Welcome to Healthy Choices with Austin's favorite pharmacy, People's. We're ready for your call right now at 836-0590 or toll free 877-590-KLBJ.
And thanks for being with us. Today, among other things, you'll hear from a best-selling author. He's a practicing neurologist. He's going to talk to us about healthy brains. You may have seen this guy on TV programs like Good Morning America and others. He'll be with us today right here on Healthy Choices with Austin's favorite pharmacy, Peoples. And your hosts are Don Welch and Ray Solano from Peoples. Good to have you here, guys, and looking forward to this interview.
This is going to be a great topic because nutritional brain or nutritional supplementations and nutritional choices to power your brain is a great topic, and you're going to really enjoy a very plain speaking, a very friendly and empathetic neurologist, Dr. David Perlmutter comes across and gives you some good tips for and also some reality of what's going to happen with your brain. And unfortunately, nobody's really talking about it. As far as everybody wants to know what their cholesterol numbers are, but we're going to give you some tips on how to get your brain healthy.
And right along with that, as we have a couple of articles in the news this week, fiber-rich diet linked to longevity. Now, you all have been talking about this since day one, right? Eating the right kinds of things, not only to benefit healthy brains, but for the rest of our bodies as well.
Well, that's your second brain, right, Don?
I always like to talk about raspberries have the highest amount of fiber in them and also the lowest glycemic index. And people don't know that means that you're able to convert the sugar slower so it doesn't just turn into sugar when you have high fiber.
Another story in the news this week out of the New York Times, zinc is good ammunition against the common cold. How about that? You all have talked about the benefits of zinc for a long time.
Well, you know, everybody should know that zinc is one of the most abundant minerals in the body, and it gets used up most under stress. And when you're under stress, opportunistic viruses come out. So there's a relationship there for both stress as well as colds.
And I'm sure all of the parents are listening because it's like every child in Austin under the age of 5 has had a flu over the last, or has had a fever over the last few weeks. So
we're compounding a lot of Tamiflu now.
Yes.
Well, I just saw an article that the flu issues around the country and even here in Texas are huge right now still. So don't let the nice weather outside fool
That's
you, right?
That's right. And there are some remedies for flu, especially it's really important. We'll talk about that through the show. Is as soon as you feel the first little twinge, it's important to get treatment.
And just as we talk about healthy eating, this from ABC News, calorie counts on fast food menus don't influence kids' choices. So this says essentially young people are not changing their orders even when they know the calorie counts are high. So still a lot of work to do.
I bet you it's in reverse. The higher the calories, the more they want to order those. Right?
So still a lot of work to do for programs like this one to try to help educate and help people understand there is a better way in terms of eating habits, right?
Well, that's right. We hope that people in their 70s and their 80s realize that it's about time that they can do something. And that's what we're going to give you some tips you can do, even when you're past 60 years old.
So we'll talk about all of that and a lot more along with your phone calls here today, 836-0590 and toll free 877-590-KLBJ. And we'll get to all of that this hour. But I know you want to start off with some of the interview from this best-selling author, right?
That's for Dr. David Perlmutter. His book is Power Up Your Brain, and it's available at all the People's Pharmacies, I think, if we haven't sold out yet. And he's going to talk a little bit about your risk for Alzheimer's on this segment.
About 50% of people who live to be age 85 years will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
That's scary.
So,
in
other words, your chances are 50-50 if you live to be age 85. Now, those chances are increased in those individuals who have certain issues in their lives. If you're diabetic, if you're overweight, if you have a positive family history, if you had a history of cold sores, if you've had head trauma, had low educational exposure, there are a lot of issues that are risk factors for developing that disease. Now, Some of the modifiable risk factors that we talk about are, for example, if you happen to have a DHA intake, that's a special omega-3 that is found in fish oils and also now found in a vegetarian supplement. If you have low levels of that omega-3 called DHA, your risk is increased dramatically. If you have high levels of DHA, your risk is reduced by about 72%. If you have a high blood level of something called homocysteine, above 14, then your risk doubles. Also, Alzheimer's is associated with very low levels of vitamin D. So again, that vitamin D plays a critical role, not just in maintaining bones, but throughout the entire system in terms of having a role to play in immunity and antioxidant and in the brain, even as what we call an antimicrobial. That vitamin D activates a gene that actually cleanses the brain of viruses and even bacteria. So, you know, time to broaden our scope and our understanding of vitamin D. I think that mainstream medicine is a bit myopic in their understanding of this really important nutrient, and understand that it's not actually a vitamin. It's actually a hormone. It's derived from cholesterol in the same way that many of our male and female hormones are. And therefore, you know, it's sort of a nomenclature issue to call it a vitamin. But it's a nutrient, but it's also something that we obviously get from sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned
when we're exposed to ultraviolet B, we make vitamin D in substantial amounts. There was recently a report issued by the Institute of Medicine saying that anything more than about 4,000 units of vitamin D is absolutely toxic. And, you know, I frequently use much higher dosages in my office, and then I have patients coming in saying, oh, they read this in the newspaper, and now I'm poisoning them. And I said, well, look, your body can make vitamin D 1,000 units every minute that you're in the sunshine. So do you really believe that going out in the sunshine for 4 minutes would give you a toxic level of vitamin D? It's preposterous. As a matter of fact, I was on CBS Good Morning America a couple of weeks ago, and it was right after that Institute of Medicine report came out, and I offered that up as a sort of a counter to what the Institute of Medicine has been purveying to the public consciousness. In fact, if any of your listeners go to read the Huffington Post, that's huffingtonpost.com, my posting from just yesterday dealt with vitamin D and its role in multiple sclerosis.
Boy, and I guess, Ray, one of the things that really jumps out as we listen to that, by age 85, 50% of us will be diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
That's scary, isn't it?
I'll say.
And he also goes into the other risk factors, and it's high homocysteine levels. And I would like to see a statistic of the amount of people that know their homocysteine levels, but they, you know, everybody knows their cholesterol number. But if you listen,
most of us don't even know what it is.
Don't even know what it is.
Well, I always like to let people know that homocysteine, it gives you a range of what your folic acid and your B12 are. So these are B vitamins.
It's an inflammation marker. And your brain, Alzheimer's is an inflammatory disease of the brain. So this is a critical, critical number to know. And if your number is higher, your risk is even greater.
Okay, so we'll have more coming up with this neurologist. What are a couple of the key takeaways there? I heard a lot about vitamin D. What are some other things in terms of things we can do for healthier brains?
Well, the important thing is to realize that as you get older, your risks are much greater. And what he's talking about is your brain is 70% fat, and it's really important to have that fat content be actually constant or actually growing throughout the your elderly years.
And that is walking. We always make a joke that the fat on the bottom of your feet is the same fat in your brain, so get the feet walking and moving.
Okay, so walking, moving, vitamin D, anything else that we could take away from that first segment before we go on?
The important thing for that segment is a lot of these neurotoxins that we're going to talk about in the next half can really damage your brain long term.
Okay, more with this best-selling author. He's a practicing neurologist going to talk with us about healthy brains coming up here on KLBJ.
Let's talk about your healthy choices with Austin's favorite pharmacy, Peoples. We have room for you now at 836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-KLBJ.
And on today's program, we are talking about healthy brains. To help us do that, a best-selling author, a practicing neurologist, and our host in studio here, Don Welch, and Ray Solano from People's Pharmacy. Ray, what I heard in that opening segment, walking, staying active, vitamin D, those are all things that will help us stay away from or try to minimize the potential for Alzheimer's in our later years. Anything else out of that first segment before we go on to the next part of this interview?
The important thing is that helps reverse the aging in the brain is DHA fish oil. This marine-sourced fish oil helps the brain stop this inflammatory reaction and actually feeds the brain and helps it. That's the connectivity and neurons work better. So it's fish oils, high DHA fish oils is what Dr. Perlmutter talked about.
Okay, and fish oil is certainly available in supplements. Does that work if we eat the right kinds of fish as well? How
we would
else
have the cold,
get
fatty fish, like the Alaskan salmon and the halibut
and sardines, and you know, these are the choices. But if you can't, these marine sourced DHA or fish oil, high DHA fish oils, he recommends.
Okay, and again, this guy that we're talking with has a best selling book. Why don't you just touch on that and again his name and set up this next segment for us?
It's Dr. David Perlmutter. And you can look on his website, and also he's got some YouTube about his book. He's a bestseller. This new book is a bestseller. And he's a practicing neurologist in Florida that helps with Parkinsonism and patients with Alzheimer's. So you're going to enjoy this next segment.
And peoplesrx.com would be a great place to just go and check out anything we're talking about on the show today,
right? That's right. And also upcoming seminars about your brain health as well.
Okay. So we'll go on to our next segment right now.
Doctors in general are not checking homocysteine, though they should. We know that homocysteine is actually very toxic to blood vessels and actually enhances free radical production. And for your listeners, homocysteine is HOMOCYSTEINE.
Yeah, thank you. I forget to.
It's a simple blood test.
Right.
Why I'm interested in it is because in February the 14th, 2001 issue of the New England Journal of Medicine was a stunning article that showed if your homocysteine level is just 14, and we see that level every single day, just 14, your risk for Alzheimer's is doubled. And the reason people don't hear about homocysteine, but they certainly hear about cholesterol, is because homocysteine is not treated with a drug. So on the evening news, you're not going to see somebody riding a bike with a beautiful background saying, I'm happy now because my homocysteine is lower because I took XYZ drug.
Mm-hmm.
Homocysteine, as you correctly described, is lowered by B vitamins. Typically, we give folic acid, B6, and B12. That's the cocktail that is specifically targeting homocysteine, and we'd like a level of homocysteine around 8 or lower.
And ask your doctor. You need to ask a doctor a lot of times.
Ask your doctor. Have them check homocysteine. Frequently, unfortunately, doctors will refuse to check it, telling a patient, "Oh, there's no reason to check it. It doesn't mean anything, and there's nothing you can do to lower it anyway." I hear that all the time, and you just take a deep breath. It's all good.
Okay, so homocysteine levels very important. What I heard there, Ray, B vitamins, B6, B12,
and folic acid.
And folic acid. Now, again, available, I suppose, in supplements, pills, and such?
Oh, you can find quite a few homocysteine formulas that have the three of them together. They'll also use the beets, too.
How about if somebody's going out for dinner tonight saying, gee, what can I eat that'll increase my B vitamins and my folic acid? Anything there?
Yes. You have a nice, healthy dinner of kidney, liver, or heart. They have very high levels of folic acid.
What restaurant is that?
Okay, so yeah, if you don't find those entrees,
yeah, it's
right
not
away,
easy, is what he's trying to say. Well, okay. Lots of vegetables are going to be in the folic acid, and then
the meat
has the B12. They're very common genetics that you can't even make these B vitamins as well.
Well, and again, if your numbers are very high, Kenny, it's important you're going to have to take either prescription supplements, which we do. We compound these for especially our autistic families and children, or you may have to do the injections, or you do the prescription pills to get it down in the therapeutic levels very quickly.
So for most of us, it sounds like the starting point is we got to find out where we are.
Where you are.
Got to find out the level.
And that's right. And that's one of those tests that is preventative that hopefully your insurance will pay for, or the government insurance will pay for, whoever.
If it doesn't,
because
it's cheap.
Because it's very, very, it's a prevention a test.
Okay, and we'll work in some calls here this afternoon, 836-0590. Mike's out on Mopac on KLBJ. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Kenny. How are you?
Good. Yes, sir.
I'm a physician, and I'm very interested in homocysteine and the levels of CPK. This whole issue of inflammation I happen to agree with. I watch it in my own diet. But I do want to make some comments of moderation regarding this homocysteine testing. That article quoted was from 2001. Since then, there have been a lot of articles suggesting two things. A.
Okay, Mike, we're going to put you on hold. We lost your cell signal. We'll go on to our next segment. We have another segment, another piece of this interview, and we'll see if we can get
back.
Well,
I hope he calls back. It sounded like some really good information, Mike.
We'll put him on hold and see if we get a better cell signal here momentarily.
Now, the next segment is going to be talking about, you know, your brain is 70% fats, and cholesterol is an important hormone or a fat that actually your brain your body breaks down and gets its specific hormones. It gets its vitamin D, it gets its other sex hormones. So cholesterol levels have a good factor or important factor in the brain. So he's going to talk about statins and how these drugs affect the brain health.
Okay.
I believe that the statin drugs are overused. Mm-hmm. And I think we're understanding more and more about that. And I'm certainly very, very familiar with the spacedoc.net individual, mm-hmm. that right. is the website, who talked about this transient global amnesia and really describes the statin drug as robbing him of his memory. So, interesting enough, these drugs, the statins that are so commonly prescribed, in fact, over-the-counter in England, the main issue to consider is they inhibit a specific enzyme that's involved in cholesterol synthesis. The enzyme is called HMG-CoA reductase, and so these drugs are called HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors. But unfortunately, that same enzyme, HMG-CoA reductase, is the body's way of manufacturing a very important antioxidant and energy enhancer called coenzyme Q10. So across the board, when individuals are taking statin drugs, they become depleted in CoQ10. And this has now been fairly well recognized as playing a pivotal role in the muscle disorder that accompanies statin drugs, as well as even the nerve damage, the neuropathy that's so common in using statin drugs. The American Academy of Neurology indicates that there's an 11-fold increased risk of neuropathy in people using statin drugs. So I think the take-home message here for your listeners is not to go out and throw your statin drug in the garbage and say that's it. You know, it's a conversation you should have with your doctor, but understand that doctors are not really very open-minded mm-hmm. about it. I mean, mm-hmm. cholesterol is considered the enemy, and the lower, the better. And in reality, that's just not true. I mean, mm-hmm. the good Lord put cholesterol in our bodies not so that we could ultimately create drugs to get rid of it. Cholesterol is the first step in the biosynthesis of the sex hormones. As I mentioned, it's the first step in the biosynthesis of vitamin D. And in the brain, cholesterol acts as an antioxidant. So this idea of lowering cholesterol into oblivion is ill-founded. And interestingly enough, research has now demonstrated that when cholesterol levels are overly aggressive in terms of overly treated and levels get really low, it significantly increases the risk for brain hemorrhage. So maybe you won't have a heart attack while you have a brain hemorrhage. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think that when you look in the physician's desk reference, look up any statin drug, and the first thing it will say is, this drug should only be used after strict lifestyle and dietary measures have failed. And what does that mean? Means the first thing we should do when a patient has an elevated cholesterol is approach the diet and approach lifestyle so that individual will lose weight. Most of the time, we can absolutely normalize cholesterol in an individual with weight loss and attention to diet. It happens most of the time. Not some of the time, most of the time. True, there are some individuals who have a genetic issue, a genetic predisposition for elevation of cholesterol, and their cholesterol levels might be sky high. So we do have to, you know, this is a unique subset, and it's extremely, extremely rare. Most of the time, you know, patients have cholesterol issues simply because of their choosing. They choose to have a high cholesterol based upon the choices they make in terms of the foods that they eat and the lack of exercise that they engage. So, you know, it's overdone. Do I have, do I write prescriptions for statin drugs? I do. I do it every single day. And, you know, I do have a few patients who require that. And frankly, plenty of patients who are too lazy to make the lifestyle changes. And, you know, you worry about their very high cholesterol levels. So, but when we're using a statin drug, we want to make sure to understand the basic biochemistry that it will deplete CoQ10. And okay, you're taking whatever statin drug it may be, take another 200 milligrams of coenzyme Q10 to protect yourself, and that may very well keep you out of trouble in terms of nerve damage and even muscle damage.
Okay, Ray, so one of the familiar terms I heard in that segment, this CoQ10.
That's right. He's saying that statin drugs are do have some side effects, and neuropathy, global amnesia, and also depleting your body of CoQ10 is one of the important takeaways here. But he also mentioned that it should be used as a last resort after lifestyle changes, and also diets have been used up first. So it's not the first choice, it's actually the last choice. Because reducing cholesterol in the brain can be dangerous.
Okay, we'll try to get back to Mike here on KLBJ. Mike?
Yeah, hi, Kenny. I'm back now. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
A couple comments. One about the homocysteine. Recent evidence has shown that taking high doses of the vitamin Bs that you mentioned does not predictably lower homocysteine. But the more important thing about homocysteine, it may be a result of inflammation rather than the cause. So you have to approach that a little bit with a balanced result. And on to statins, I mean, balanced thinking. On to statins, just for a second, I agree with everything you did say about statins. One of the ways they may work for the heart is actually to reduce inflammation themselves, never mind lowering cholesterol. My take on cholesterol is no matter how much you have, as long as it slides right on by, who cares? That's why if I have a steak, I will go home and take my two fish oil capsules, drink it with a glass of red wine, take a baby aspirin, take my CoQ10, and I'll take 10 milligrams of Lipitor. And my point being, the cholesterol went up a little bit. As long as it doesn't stick, that's why we take the anti-inflammatories. So, but the thing, you got to be careful when you talk about something like this thing with aluminum and Alzheimer's. Does aluminum cause Alzheimer's? Or do people with Alzheimer's happen to deposit aluminum as a secondary event, and it wasn't the cause? Got to be real careful about cause and effect.
All right, fair enough. Thanks for calling in.
Now, important, this is, as you can tell, is a complex subject. And for people that are listening, there's lots of different opinions, especially on the B vitamins and the links to reductions of homocysteine, because there's different forms of B vitamins. Folinic acid, without getting too technical here, the natural form of folic acid, was found to be is much more beneficial than synthetic folic acid. And then you also have active forms of B vitamins versus synthetic B vitamins. So, you know, unfortunately, we'd love to have these foods that have all these things naturally occurring that they stop the homocysteine levels. But sometimes you have to take supplements that have the active forms. But so, as you can see, Kenny, these things are complicated. His conversation about aluminum. Does aluminum cause it? Some people don't excrete it. But you know what, Kenny? You don't really need to use aluminum in your deodorant every day at the risk of having a toxicity. Aluminum has a lot of toxicity, and we don't need to add more to our daily intake.
So, Ray, what was your take on him using the statin drug as a form of reducing his steak cholesterol intake? He was using the statin like as a supplement.
We have not seen any literature to support that at all. And also for the side effects, I think I'd rather choose something else as a preventative. Again, it's not naturally occurring. It's a synthetic drug. And I think it's only to be used when you have a genetic predisposition.
Okay, after a quick news break, more of this interview with this best-selling author, a practicing neurologist, talking with us about healthy brains. We'll have lots of time for your phone calls as well. So stay with us here on KLBJ.
Let's talk about your healthy choices with Austin's favorite pharmacy, Peoples. We have room for you now at 836-0590 or toll free 877-590-KLBJ.
It's 5:32 here on KLBJ. Thanks for being with us on Healthy Choices with Austin's Favorite Pharmacy People. It's your hosts in studio, Don Welch and Ray Solano. And we're going to wrap up and interview Ray with this best-selling author. He's a practicing neurologist. Maybe you mentioned the book and peoplesrx.com if anybody wants more information about what this doctor is telling us today.
It's Dr. David Perlmutter, and his name of his book is Power Up Your Brain. And he's a best-selling author. This book is actually on a national bestseller list, and it's chock full of a lot of survival tips to turn around brain health. And again, this is from a practicing neurologist that he actually embraces nutrition, which is something that we seem very rare today.
Okay, so in the first part of our program, as we've been listening to this doctor, he's talking about, well, he started off talking about a very startling statistic. By age 85, 50% of us could be diagnosed with Alzheimer's. So what are some things we can do for healthier brains? What I've heard, walking and staying active, vitamin D, fish oil, making sure we understand what our homocysteine levels are, and some B vitamins there and some folic acid to help with that.
And protecting ourselves against some of the medications that they may be on, like the statin drugs with the CoQ10.
Okay, and then CoQ10 was something else I heard that might be beneficial.
Well, if you are taking a prescription drug to lower cholesterol levels, beware that you could, some of the side effects is this neuropathy that a lot of people have, and the muscle weakness. You have to have a coenzyme Q10 to supplement that so you don't make the situation worse.
Okay, and we have time to work in your phone calls as well. 836-0590. Here's Jeff out in Dripping Springs on KLBJ. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. I was just wondering if the doctor had anything on brain injury or anything that I should be taking or doing to expedite the healing of the brain.
Well, Jeff, our interview with the doctor is pre-recorded, but we'll ask Ray for his thoughts.
And also, okay. David's Dr. Perlmutter's book, he talks about that is the brain injury, the things that help the body regenerate neurons is calorie restriction. And also exercise. Those are some things that are important. And also, he's a big fan of using DHEA from marine source algae as a high potency for regeneration. And also, if you might want to, everybody that has had a brain injury, make sure you get your growth hormone levels checked, your IGF-1 levels. We're finding that a lot of people have very low levels or low normal levels, and then using the growth hormone injections can actually turn that around. So ask your doctor about that.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks for calling in on KLBJ, 836-0590, if you'd like to join us. And now would be a good time, as some more calls come in, Ray. Let's go to the remaining portion of this interview. And I believe you said in this concluding part of the interview, he kind of gives us a few other thoughts, a few other key takeaways.
Well, he did. He kind of put together what you can do to protect yourself against this startling statistic of Alzheimer's and dementia is some things, tips that you can do on a day-to-day basis that reduce your risk factors and make your brain survive.
Okay, we'll go to that right now.
Carry in DHA supplement. You can get it in any health food store. I'm sure you carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Derived from marine algae, terrific product, and about 1,000 to 1,200 milligrams a day of DHA. The next supplement is physical exercise. Why do I say it that way? Because, you know, I wish I could put it into a pill, but you can't. But the most important thing we can do to preserve brain function is to exercise physically, probably 20 to 30 minutes, 6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
It is what we call an epigenetic modulator, meaning that it's turning on the smart genes. It's turning on the genes that build and maintain a better brain. And yet, it's overlooked. The next clearly dietary recommendation is restrict your calorie consumption. Most Americans need to reduce calories by about 25 to 30%, because that's how much we are over what's recommended for our height. And in a recent study, it was demonstrated that when a group of individuals over a 30-day period reduced their calorie consumption by 25%, there was a dramatic increase in the gene expression of something called brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. And it turns out that BDNF is what builds a stronger brain. It leads to the growth of new brain cells, and it allows brain cells to connect more readily. So that being said, reducing your calories is a key player. Now, one of the unique things that we talk about in our new book, Power Up Your Brain, is actually fasting. And that is taking one day every month or every 5 weeks and not eating. And that might sound fairly draconian, but indeed, the human physiology actually thrives when it is challenged by a fast every once in a while. You know, we always haven't had so much food available to us. It's never been abundant like it is. And, you know, we have developed a physiology that allows us to do okay and, in fact, even go into survival mode, which is a good thing for us, when we're deprived of calories. You know, as hunter-gatherers, there were times when we couldn't find tubers or berries or kill whatever it was on the prairie, and we missed out on eating for days at a time. And yet, we're not the strongest animal in the forest, nor are we the fastest, but what we are is the most clever. I mean, we have a huge brain in comparison to our body size, a brain at rest that uses 20% of our resting energy, although only occupies 2% of our body weight. You know, the human brain, that's our advantage. That's our unique gift. And so the brain has gotten us out of tight places over the past several hundred thousand years. So we're primed for being able to survive when food is scarce. And in fact, it's another epigenetic factor. Fasting turns on genes that are good for the brain. The next thing that one of the sort of the unique things that we're beginning to understand is that the human brain loves to metabolize fat and use fat for energy. When we're starving, we use body fat through the liver converted into a specific type of fat that then the brain uses and acts absolutely thrives on this, what's called ketone. But we can give the brain that fat even right now as part of our diets by just consuming coconut oil. So one of the things that we talk about is having individuals take about a tablespoon of coconut oil, organic virgin coconut oil, each day. Wonderful for the brain.
Okay, so there's some, I heard some very common sense suggestions for a healthier brain, a teaspoon of coconut oil every
tablespoon.
Day.
That,
tablespoon.
Tablespoon,
sorry.
Tablespoon of coconut oil.
And he did just say one tablespoon, that's not right. Three.
No, one tablespoon, but that's still, but that's a common
sounds
sense.
Sounds easy bird, enough.
Easy, marine-based. He likes the marine algae DHA fish oils. Has a high levels of DHA. The calorie restriction we're talking about just one day every 5 weeks. That's not very expensive, right?
Or at least maybe wait until lunch.
And exercise. And exercise is important because it doesn't really. We're told that it fixes the brain. We're told that it helps muscles. But this could be a survival tool to make sure, especially if you have a high risk factors for Alzheimer's.
And what about this fasting? Was that one day a month? Is that what he's suggesting?
Well, I always, you know, the word breakfast, that's break fast. So, you know, sometimes it's important in alternative medicine to look at this break fast. And Fit for Life is old. Lots of old health books talk about not eating until lunch on a few days, just like breaking the fast and making it longer. And he's suggesting a whole day. So you can do it lots of different ways that fits into your lifestyle.
And those are ketones. These are the ketones that your body breaks down these fats that are very receptive to regenerating the brain.
Okay.
When you're fasting, that's what happens.
And again, this doctor's name and the name of the book and peoplesrx.com for some more information.
And that's Power Up Your Brain, and that's Dr. David Perlmutter. And Dr. David Perlmutter is the chief medical director of Zymogen products. They have a whole neuroprotective brain formulas that he spends a lot of time making sure that these are fit these profiles. So take a look at those. And they're all at all the People's Pharmacy locations. And we have a specialist on staff that can talk about that.
Good enough. Let's get to the phones. Mila in Elgin on KLBJ. Hi, Mila.
Hi. I heard an advertisement for krill oil, and it was supposed to be like omega fish oil. And that if it can sustain huge whales, then it is good for us.
Well,
does that make any sense?
It does. Krill oil is a very, very small marine animal that has a good high levels of EPA and DHA. The controversy, and even I've had this conversation with Dr. Perlmutter, is they feel that there is that if everybody started harvesting krill to make fish oils, that it would endanger or cause an endanger some of the mammals. So
it's not sustainable.
So this is the reason why they go marine algae is a more sustainable source for those oils.
And it doesn't really fit those pocketbooks very well either. It's very expensive. So you have to price shop. It all comes from one location, what I'm understanding still.
But it is very effective.
Thank you.
Okay, Myla, thanks for calling in on KLBJ. Chuck, you're up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Hey, I recently started taking some of the reishi mushroom, and it had a cognitive effect I wasn't expecting. I was taking it to relieve some inflammation in my foot. I noted after about a week on this a significant improvement in my cognitive abilities. Are you guys familiar with that? With this? It's apparently an ancient Chinese herbal remedy that's been around for a long time. It's been attributed to fixing a number of ailments.
It has a lot of benefits to it, and it sounds
like... That was maitake mushrooms, I think he was saying.
I thought he said reishi.
Reishi mushrooms.
Okay. And it sounds like he must be taking a good quality product, because how the reishi is grown is usually how medicinal or how therapeutic the product is. And there's lots of research. As he said, it's an ancient herb. A lot of it is even grown here in Oregon now, so you can get American species that are organic. There's some really good products on the market.
Okay, good. Chuck, thanks for calling in on KLBJ, 836-0590. If you'd like to join us, still plenty of time to jump in here on KLBJ.
Let's talk about your healthy choices with Austin's favorite pharmacy, Peoples. We have room for you now at 836-0590 or toll free 877-590-KLBJ.
It's 546 here on KLBJ along with Don Welch and Ray Solano from People's Pharmacy. I'm Kenny Rahmeyer, here to help take your phone calls at 836-0590 and toll free 877-590-KLBJ. We've been talking about healthy brains. We'll continue to take your phone calls about that. Some other things to get to related to that out of the Wall Street Journal, Ray, a fiber-rich diet linked to longevity. And this talks about the benefits. Dawn, you mentioned raspberry is a good thing to eat, broccoli, and beans, lentil beans, and nuts, these other things you all been talking about for a long time.
Perfect food. Lentils, cheap. It's high source of protein, high source of minerals, B vitamins, folic acid, iron. And, you know, it's one serving a week is probably would cure so many people of so many ailments.
One serving of the lentil beans or any of these, raspberries, broccoli?
Any of those. We call them the part of the category of superfoods. And they have high, high nutritional value and very, very, very low in calories and things that are poor for your diet.
It's very important to talk about healthy brains, I guess, almost any time, especially if we take a look at this recent data from the U.S. Surgeon General. Says nearly 20% of American children and adolescents suffer from a mental disorder so significant that it interferes with their day-to-day life.
Did you say 20% of our children?
20%, right, of American children and adolescents.
And that's very sobering. You ask any school teachers, ask anybody that is dealing with high school, or even some employers, the amount of the cognitive decline of this generation is probably something that we've never, ever experienced before. And we think it's because of the tremendous amount of environmental insults, as well as the tremendous amounts of medicines that people are taking, and the awful food selections that people have is affecting the mental health of these children.
And when you say the medicines that people are taking...
Well, it's
obviously, that's the parents, and then the kids start taking stuff too, right?
It's a combination. There's a pill. The amount of prescription medications that this generation takes is probably 10 to 20 fold more than any other generation. And unfortunately, some of these things can be have a lot of side effects to the brain health.
Okay.
And you saw the article in there on how Coca-Cola and Pepsi are now going to be out with the research of the caramel coloring.
Because they use ammonia in it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be putting on the carcinogenic list, the caramel coloring in the sodas. And California is talking to them about putting a cancer warning on all sodas that have caramel coloring in them.
I mean, it's
what will that do to
when did they start putting
sales,
caramel
huh?
coloring in our sodas?
Well, they I think
it's
they
been there a long time,
uh-huh.
though, isn't it?
But I think there's two different kinds of caramel coloring, or where caramel used to be a byproduct of brown sugar, but I think there's more of a synthetic form that has high levels of ammonia. So a combination of the sugar and ammonia can be very deadly for the liver.
Well, forget the caramel coloring and what's going on out in California. You all, Ray, I think one of the very first shows we did, I can remember you saying one of the best things people could do is stop drinking soda
that's right.
For better health, right?
Right, because it's showing up as tumors on the thyroid, so this isn't good information.
So there's nothing beneficial about it, and we think everything in moderation, but you know what? There's a lot of people that just don't know how to moderate.
There's lots of other things you can drink, right?
That's exactly right.
If you need, 836-0590, open phones here. Barbara, thanks for holding out in Anderson Mill on KLBJ.
I have a large hiatal hernia. It goes from my esophagus to my stomach, and they put me on omeprazole, and it helps me keep from throwing up the phlegm and everything, but it also says it can you can break your wrist or your spine or your ankle. And I've been having trouble with my foot, my heel bone, like I'm stepping on a nail. And I was wondering if you had any ideas on what I should take. And I'm also on that Pravastatin, 10 milligrams one time a day. And because my cholesterol is 300 and something, and I don't know what else to do. I do take the COQ10, and I take quite a few vitamin B, just it was a vitamin B complex, but I don't know what else to. And I eat fish.
Okay. Well,
the omeprazole, I was wondering if it's having trouble with my foot because it's like stepping on a nail.
Well, that's a very popular drug. It's called omeprazole.
Yeah.
The brand name is Prilosec, the purple pill.
Yes, uh-huh.
And what you find is many times that the body's stomach acid is raised up above its normal level, and you're unable to absorb fats, you're unable to absorb minerals, calcium, magnesium. So this may be some of the things that that may be causing some problems with you. But we always we want people to know that there are some other choices that you can do to normalize your stomach acid. And we think some of the easiest, simplest thing is apple cider vinegar. It's cheap. It's been around forever. Don't you like that, Dawn?
I do. And also, Barbara, I was going to ask you on your cholesterol, the HDL category of your cholesterol needs to be high because this is your fish oil category. So then you know you're taking enough. And
so if you that's a good cholesterol, right?
Right. And if it's really high, it's going to make that total number higher as well. So that would be read incorrectly.
I raised it with 57 or close to 60.
Well, and again, this is what we do. You may want to come into our People's Lakeline Wellness Clinic. We able to digest these people's drugs that they are taking and understand what's causing them.
Okay.
And it may be something you might want to take a look. It's at the phone number there is 219-8600. That's at the People's at 620-183, the Lakeline Wellness Clinic, and we can see if we can help you out.
Okay, who would I ask for?
Ask for anybody that's myself, Jim, or Dr. Carcerud. We'll be able to fit you in.
Okay, and how much of the apple cider vinegar should I take?
Oh, about a tablespoon. What do you think, Dawn?
I think that's a good start. You can mix it with some water if you like.
Or a little bit of honey.
Can you take it straight?
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Just take it straight mixed with honey?
That's right.
Okay, and then that should keep. Does that have to, when you throw up, I don't do it all the time, maybe two or three times a week if I don't take the pill because I begin to think it's bothering my bones.
Well, we'd like to have you break it down for you. It can get kind of complicated, okay?
Barbara, thank you for your phone call. Michael on I-35 on KLBJ. Hi, Michael. Are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm just wondering if brain uses ketone for flourishing. Why did diabetic get any problem when the ketone level is so high?
Well, that's a good question. It's moderate ketosis. When you get in diabetics, you become only ketones, and unfortunately you don't have enough glucose in there, and this is where the we have this imbalance. So just moderate ketosis for a very short, brief period of time.
Yeah, and I think he said fasting every 5 weeks.
Once, correct.
Yeah.
So there's a balance there, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, Michael, thanks for calling. Still time for you to jump in, 836-0590, if you'd like to join us. One of the things we talked about at the top of the show, haven't gotten to this yet, zinc is good ammunition against the common cold.
That's right.
Talk to us about that briefly.
It's come back again. We always say that people do need zinc, and it has some very antiviral properties. I think, Dawn, is about 20 milligrams mm-hmm. is usually what we see, and even as a spray lozenger as well.
You can take more, but usually we just recommend a lower dose on more often. And the children, it also comes in a liquid form that you can give to children. It's very easy.
And it's also the most important part of males making testosterone levels. So a little bit of zinc daily has tremendous effects in a lot of different processes.
We have less than a minute, so anything coming up at Peoples we need to know about?
It just seems to happen that this Tuesday we're going to have a seminar on aging brains. It's going to be with Dr. Jim Myers, our pharmacist nutritionist at the Lakeline Wellness Clinic at 7 p.m. And this is complimentary, so if you'd like to call at 219-8600 to reserve a seat, and that's on the corner of 183 and 620.
And this is usually a sellout, so please call ahead as early as possible.
Okay, and anything we've talked about today, the website, if people want more information.
It's peoplesrx.com, and the the radio code is 0183 for any of the products we listed today.
And we're back here with you next Saturday on KLBJ.